faith without works is dead. Somebody would say, well, I've got faith, Brother Pike. But Jesus said it's dead faith. You might have faith, but it's dead faith. If it doesn't produce an effort, it's dead faith. And dead faith is the same as if you had no faith at all. If you got a dead person, you say, well, I've still got a person. But you'd be just as well off, you know, the other way around, because a dead person is no person at all, because you put him in the ground and from dust he come to dust he'll go. Then you don't have a person, but you've got a living person. If you've got one, then you've got something. We just appreciate every one of you being here with us. Appreciate it so very much. Appreciate the ones that came out today and spent a little time helping us try to put in a footing or a walkway around the little building out here, trying to get some walkways in so that you'll be out of the mud during the winter. And then by the help of the Lord, we hope to be able to have some grass to where it'll be pretty during the springtime. You know, I get just a little bit disturbed sometimes. I look and I see where you've run over one of my little trees and broke it down. I'm trying so hard to put some shrubbery, some beautiful little trees and some bushes and different things. And as fast as I put them up, some of you run over them and break them down, either with the lawnmower or either with the automobile. When you come in down here, you're not careful and you don't watch. And it really discouraged me, you know, not to the point that I want to stop, but to the point that you don't consider. And I wish that you would be considerate of what we try to do at the campground. Young fella came on the campground tonight cursing. Now, I know the boys are not bad. I realize that. We've got some real fine boys, and I know they're not bad. But they let devils get a hold of them. How do you know that good people sometimes will allow devils to get a hold of them? They let devils get a hold of them, and they don't want to obey the authorities uptown. They don't want to obey the authorities here. They don't want to obey anybody anywhere. How do you know that spiritual children get like that too? I run into some of them today. They don't want to obey anybody. They don't want anybody to have rule over them. And you know, that's one of the signs of the last days. The Bible said in the last days, men would be heady, high-minded, presumptuous, self-willed, despisers of government. Isn't that right? That was a sign of the last day, that there would be despisers of government. Government is a controlling power. They despise government in the day that we're living in. They don't want any leadership. They don't believe that God's ordained any greater measure in the Spirit than what they've already got. Children don't believe that parents ought to have anything to say to them or to rule over them. They want to see what they want to see, read what they want to read, go where they want to go, and do what they want to do. The laity don't want the pastor to have no word at all of control over them in any way at all. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't like it if the preacher thinks it's distasteful. They resent it. If it's distasteful to God, so what? The preacher represents God, and if it's distasteful to God, and the preacher goes to say anything about it, they resent it. Yet he's sitting there, or standing there, for the defense of the gospel, knowing that the Bible said to fear and reverence for conscience' sake, but you'll be lost and go to hell for it, knowing that you'll be injured and hurt in this life, suffer misery and heartaches and woes, if you grieve the preacher, and yet you do it anyway. So see, folks, when we come to an age like that, there is no more mercy. That means mercy is running out. It's time for the judgments of God. To know to do good and do it not, then the Bible said that's sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So when we come to an age to where you know the truth, and you still resent it, then you're on your way to hell. There's nobody can save you, not even the preacher. But the preacher has power to save you and pull you out of the fire if you listen at him. If you listen at him, he's got power to do it. One of these offices in town up here, they got the power to keep you out of jail if you listen at him. But if you don't listen at him, it's the same officer has the power to put you in jail. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he should deliver thee to the judge and the judge to the jailer. The jailer cast thee into prison, and thou should not come out till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. You say, who is the judge? The Bible said God raised up judges over Israel. Isn't that right? Judgment begins at the house of God. That's why you see him. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The reason for that is like a judge told me a number of years ago. I was sitting on a case over in Kentucky. When the judge had made his decision, I talked to him and I told him that I wanted it changed. He said, I'd be willing to do it. He said, I've discovered some new things or found out something else, and I believe that it would be favorable for a change, or that was the essence of it. He said, but I myself have no power to change my decision. He said, I made it. That's the law. That's the way it stands. So see, nobody has the power to change the law. That's why that when God passes a sentence, it's passed not only on earth, but in heaven. So then, we ought to stop and consider, you know, we've got young fellows here that are such wonderful young fellows, but they don't respect authority, some of them. And they don't believe in authority, and that's to their own hurt. Because they wind up in jail, they wind up in prison, they wind up with sicknesses, they wind up dying at an early age. But if you'd have respect to the powers of God, the authorities of God, the Scripture speaks after this fashion, saying, I would that my people would obey my voice, my word, that it might be well with them and their children all the days of their life. In other words, that is to say that God is looking down. He sees you. He sees everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you think, everything that you plan and the motives behind your plans. He sees it. And that means that when God sees it, then he has to do something about it. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So you haven't fell into the hands of a living God until you come to the knowledge of the truth. And then when you come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. How do you understand what I'm saying? There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, the atonement of the blood at Calvary only goes to the point of ignorance. That's right. Just to the point of ignorance. When there is a knowledge of sin, then you have no atonement for your sin. When you have a knowledge of sin and then you sin, the Bible said you have nothing to look forward to then except the wrath of God that will devour his adversaries. See, so as long as you're ignorant of the things of God, you have the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. The world has it out there. That's how that the grace or the rain comes down on the just and the unjust. It's because they are in ignorance. But in the day that we're living in, people are not in ignorance anymore. Did you know that? See, the thing that will cause grace to lift from the earth and God to take away the blood atonement is understanding. In the last days, the knowledge of God shall fill the heavens, the seas, the earth. Everybody will know of God from the least to the greatest. And then when they come to this knowledge, there is no more sacrifice. The wrath of God sets in and the world is torn to bits. Human beings are torn from limb to limb. The Bible said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. He didn't say, lest the devil tear you into pieces. He said, I kill, I make alive, I wound, I bind up, I create the good, I create the evil. I have my way in both. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. Can evil come to a city, and I have not sinned it, saith the Lord? Isn't that right? So then, the Lord is looking down from heaven, and he wants to help you, and he wants to heal you, and he wants to do something for you. But you're going to have to do right, folks. Many of you have got scars and wounds in your heart and on your body that you'll never get away from. Never. And they're not for the Lord Jesus either. We're glad to have you here tonight. I appreciate you coming out. And I try to tell you from the bottom of my heart, to the best of my ability and knowledge, what God wants you to do and what's good for you. I do the very best I know how to do to get it over to you. We're glad to have Kenny here tonight. Kenny ran into a little problem here a while back, and the devil took advantage of him. But he is back. I don't know whether he's in the service tonight or not. But he's back. I talked with him today. And today there was somebody sitting in my house that kept making some remarks. It was not the right kind of remarks concerning the law. But Kenny reproved him. Kenny said, "I'll tell you something when it comes to the law." And he did. He told him, said, "You can't do nothing but just stand there and listen to what they got to say." He's right, too. He's wise. See, he's already been through the fire, and he understands and he knows. You know, we get out here and we call them pigs and everything else. Isn't that right? Somebody said, "Well, the law is just a pig." According to the Bible, anybody that's not a Christian is a pig. How do you know that? Amen. Jesus said, "The swine go back to the wall in the mire." You're all fellers and just don't realize it. All of you, if you're not born again, God called you pigs. So, it's not good for one pig to grunt at another pig and say, "Pig." Is it? So I wouldn't do that. But I'll tell you what. If you get in the realms of human beings and you realize that we're human beings and that we're God's creation, then you won't call them pigs anymore. You'll realize they're human beings. So then, it's good not to do things like that. It's good not to use slang words, call people dudes and all kinds of things. That's foolish talk. That's foolish. That's no good. I know that the young folks, they feel like, well, this is a different age, Brother Pike. You know, this is the age when we're educated like that. But I want you to know, when I was back a boy, 15 and 16 years old, we used the same word, dudes, them kind of thing. The same kind of slang that you use, we used it till I learned better. They still had dope back there. The boys done dope back there, just like they do it in your day. They got drunk back there. And some of them was a whole lot worse than some of you are. So see, you don't have any special age where you're in any special circumstance that somebody else has not been in. It's all the same old devil. He's just from one generation to another. So the thing to do is to try to live right. Straighten up your life just like I did and just like others have. Try to live for God. Try to do something for God because time's running out. How do you remember that I said that this winter seemed to have to do with the tribulation period? How do you remember that? It's running the type of the tribulation. I said I look for it to be bad this winter. They say they're expecting the worst winter in 20 years. Not only are they expecting the worst winter in 20 years, but it is so much like the tribulation period till scientists say that the vultures or the buzzards are doubling their eggs. You remember the supper of Revelation where he said, "Come to my supper, eat the flesh of kings and great men and rich men." I remember that. The tribulation period. Scientists say that the buzzards have never done that before. Not in 5 years, 10 years, or what. According to what I heard of them, they said they've never known the buzzards to do that before. And said they don't know why they're doing it now, but said they're doubling their eggs. But I got a feeling I know why they're doing it. God's fixing to blow some people to bits. He's fixing to leave the carcasses on the earth. And he wants to get it cleaned up. How do you know that spiritual buzzards are multiplying? I know that. Spiritual vultures are laying double the eggs they used to, Al. That's right. As in the spiritual, so in the natural. Got to be something to show it. Something's about to happen, folks. Scientists is baffled. They don't know what it's all about. I noticed that same thing came up tonight. Whether a weather experiment, whatever, I don't know. I understand that they sent up some planes to see what it was. Said it wasn't anything that man was doing. They didn't know what it was. But it appeared again tonight out here. It's the third time that it's appeared around Bethlehem. And one time, Brother Atlee got some pictures of it in color. It changes into a rainbow color. And it's in this area. It's not somewhere else. It's in this area. Because the people as far as Covington and Magnet, Georgia, way back over where Brother Walden has his tabernacle back in there, they said that they've seen it on those nights and said it's over in the Monroe area somewhere. They can tell that it's back this way. So there's something taking place. I don't know what it is. I know what it represents. You know, the Lord does it the way He wants to, but I know what it has to do with Revelation because we brought out some things on it. But it would pay us all to move in a little closer, to be a little more concerned. Now, I know I'm taking a few minutes here breaking into the song service to exhort you a little bit. But folks, you know there's one thing that we need to remember. Jesus said if a man seek to save his life, he'd lose it. Isn't that right? If you seek to save your life, Jesus said you're going to lose it. But if you'll lay down your life for my sake, you'll gain it. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. Is that right? I haven't seen too many on the end of a pick laying down their lives. We go hunting. We go fishing. Come on. We go buying. We go frolicking into the stores to buy and sell and get gain in goods. Isn't that right? But I don't see too many laying down their lives for the brother. We've got a few out here, Jim, that's trying to lay down their life for the brother. They're out in the cold. They're laying down their lives when they could be doing something else out yonder. Out in the world, they could be doing something else. They could be enjoying riding around with their family, staying at home with their family, sleeping and eating, getting everything nice and cozy, at ease in Zion. Isn't that right? But they're willing to spend their time digging, painting, nailing, sawing, doing something to lay down their life for their brother and for their fellow man, to give up their life that somebody else might have a place to come to church and somebody else might have a place to worship and somebody else might have a place of gathering out here or a convenience from what we're doing. We're our brother's keeper. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we're supposed to be doing, folks. Giving up our life. We can seek to save it. We can stay home where it's nice and cozy. We can provide for our own. We can go on doing the things that we want to do, pay our bills, have a good reputation, satisfy our longing and desire. But at the end of the trail, we're going to find out that we saved our life and that you don't have a life over there. But the man that lost his down here saved his over there unto eternal life. So then greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. I hope that that's what we will do, and I trust that that's what you're trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do to the best of my ability, not only in the daytime, but at night and every other time, whether on the field or wherever. A lot of times we go out on the field to preach, and the children and some, they get upset with me because I want to stay right in the motel all the time. I really have a problem sometimes. The brethren don't understand why I don't get out and ride around with them in fellowship. But it's one thing about it. If I save my life here, I'm going to lose it over there. If I lose my life here for his sake, then I'll have it from now on over there. And folks, I want it from now on over there. I feel like if I can give 50, 60 years, if I live that many down here, with all the problems of this life, if I can trade that for eternal life, I'm willing to do it. I think that's a pretty good trade to me. So then I love you and I appreciate you. I just wanted to say these few words of exhortation to you to make you stop and think. We need some help in the offices. We need some help out in the fields. We need some help in carrying the gospel. We're not asking you to help us. We're asking God to help us because we're not leaning on the arm of flesh. But I'm telling you that we need help. Because the Bible said, so shall men give into your bosom. You save what you got. You build what you want. You go where you like. At the end of the way, you have nothing. I want to give everything I can get. That's right. Surrender everything that I have. And to stay away from every place that I desire to go. For Christ's sake. That's what I want to do. All right, let's stand together. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing the little song, I Love Him. Can we? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I believe that if you love him, you will keep his commandments. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. salvation on Calvary's tree. You know what? You remember this. You can have your own little place. Save all you can. Keep all you can. The Bible said labor that you might have to give, but you labor that you might have to have or to keep. Have all you want to. Whereas the Bible said it's no time to build houses and plant vineyards unless you're doing something for Jesus Christ. But you go ahead and do that. You do what you want to do. But you remember what I'm saying, folks. As sure as I breathe, the breath is going in and out my body. You do that here. You might tell yourself that you've been baptized in Jesus' name, that you belong to the church and that you've been believing all your life. But as I live today, you will die and go to hell. You will burn in the flames just as sure as we stand in this building. A Christian is one that is Christ-like. The Christ nature yesterday, today, forever, it's the same. How many of you know that? You know what it was yesterday? It was one that yielded up its own life, that looked on the things of the others. Is that right? Looked and esteemed others better than itself and went to Calvary and became sin for us. Gave up life and everything to go to Calvary for your sake. Is that right? That nature's the same today. If you've got that nature in you today, it'll lay down its life. It'll lay down its desires. It'll lay down its ambitions. It'll look on the things of another. It'll esteem others better than itself as it travels down this road. It will seek to wash the brother's feet. It will seek to lift up the brother. It will seek to push the brother out in front. It will seek to make a way for the brother. It will seek to do the same as it did in the days of Jesus when He provided the fishes and the loaves for the multitudes. He was concerned. It will be concerned about others. I appreciate Brother Taylor last night, the elderly gentleman that came down from the Carolinas, Brother David's wife's dad. He was down there in the men's meeting. He'd already given $75 in the offering. And he was so moved at the men's meeting until he went home and told him he'd never seen anything like it. And he sent another $90 offering over as proof that something had moved him. People are getting stirred, Brother Leon. Folks, if you don't watch out, somebody will be slipped in and taking your crown. The gospel is so wonderful. We're thankful to have our sister over from Indiana. She's still here with us. Such a wonderful privilege to have her over. I had a bad night vision the other night about Mitch's little baby back there, the little boy. I'd really like for us to pray about it, Brother Mitch. We're joining in prayer with you. Don't know just what it meant. But I mentioned it today to some of them. I've been wanting to tell Mitch, and I didn't get to tell him. It's been days that I hadn't been able to see him. So I said openly and that I can't see him, that he might kind of fortify his efforts against the devil for his little child. Bad vision about Brother Zale that came into me today, Brother Zale. See, I'm telling you this so that you can kind of watch bad vision coming about Brother Leon Wilson. Also, something happening to both of them. Bad vision come in about the deer hunting also today. A bad vision come in about Brother Gerald Whitlow that he got drowned and died. So, number of you, there's been bad visions that's come in about you. Now you say, Brother Pike, what have we done? Perhaps you haven't done anything. Just because a bad vision comes, that doesn't mean you've done anything. People have had bad visions about me down through the years. But see, God warns us. God warns us when He sees the devil moving in on us. He warns us. Just like He did Joseph when He said, take that babe down into Egypt. Satan will seek his life. Joseph hadn't done anything, but the devil wanted the life of that child. Isn't that right? Job hadn't bothered anybody. Isn't that right? So then I'm just saying this so we can watch. I keep telling you. I keep talking with you. I keep working with you. I keep praying with you. I keep asking you. I ask you to join hands with me. Let's work together. Let's be strengthened. Let's all walk along together. Let's watch. Let's pray. Let's fight. The devil's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, striking everywhere, striking, continually striking, trying to kill us out. I had a bad vision about Brother Ernie Harburger. I wrote a letter and tried to tell Ernie, but somehow I didn't get to him. In a little while, he almost lost his life. The front part of his van tore up and he went off of a road there and almost lost his life. Let's watch. Let's pray. Because the devil is moving in for the kill, folks. Numbers of others, there's been visions about you that things happen to you. Let's move in. Let's move in. Let's do something. Let's pray. Many of you I never mention it to you because the reason is because I don't want to discourage you, and I just pray and beg God to help me. But these men that I mentioned this to here tonight, I failed to do this for your sake, that you might understand that the devil is trying to kill us, not just one of us, but all of us. Brother John fell through the truck today, standing on the back of the truck, fell through, his leg went through, and it's a wonder if it hadn't broke it or ruined it. All of the weight went down on it, went right through the truck. Satan is trying to hurt us, folks. He's trying to kill us. Brother Charlie Elliott come to me today and said, Brother Pike, said, I know that God has let me know that the devil's trying to kill you. I said, you sure are right. He just didn't realize how much right he was. He's done just about everything in the book to try to kill me. But I tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to link arms. We're going to have to stand up. We're going to have to make a drive. That's right. We've got to keep going. We've got to make a drive. Jim come to me today, Brother Jimmy Kirk, and told me, Brother Pike, said, I'm giving up my hunting. That's right. He said, the Lord help me over this that I'm doing now. And he said, I'll never do it no more. Now, that's all right. Like I said, I don't believe God will pounce on anybody for going hunting. I used to love it with all my heart, fishing, those kind of things. I don't believe God will pounce on you, but I actually believe this in my heart, brethren. I say this openly to all of you. I believe this. When Brother Branham got so interested in hunting, I made the statement. I said, he's messing with guns too much and he's going hunting too much. I said, the Lord ain't pleased with it. And I said, something will happen. And the guns blew up in his face and almost killed him. And he made the statement. He said, it almost killed me. He said, I like to lose my life. He said, it looked like for a while I was going to lose my life. So see, it isn't that God is against us going out, getting a little relaxation, but it's just that we are living in such a close quarters that if we get our mind on the natural the least bit now, we get carnal just the least bit with a little bit of foolishness, like on those radios and things, you know, and talking about our handle and all this kind of thing. Just a little gossip, just a little bit of something, just to get in the carnal mind a little bit, and Satan hits us just like that. Just talk about your brother a little bit. Say things wrong. Have the wrong thoughts, the wrong motives in your conversations. Just go riding too much. Just get in your car with your family and just start riding around too much when the brethren are working and when something needs to be done. Just get at ease in Zion just a little bit to relax in the flesh, and the devil will hit you just a little bit. Don't take but just a little bit, and he'll hit you. He'll kill you. Brother Holly said today, said, Brother Pike, I had a bad vision about the deer hunting. And he said in it, said, I said, oh Lord, I hope that's not one of our brethren. And he was troubled about it. Isn't that right, brother? He's telling me he was troubled about it today. Well, see, last night I just had talked to Brother Frank Beretta and Brother David, my son, last night about it. And I said, I'm troubled over it. I said, it bothers me. I'm not against anybody going hunting. I know they like to go hunting. I realize that. I used to be so bad about going hunting, I'd go fishing from the time I'd get home from work till the time my wife cooked my supper, I'd slip out and go fishing or go hunting. Just between coming home but see, there came a time when the Lord demanded my time. And folks, he's demanding your time, like Peter over there. When Peter said, I go fishing, that was all right. That'd been his occupation. But the Lord said, Peter, don't you love me more than these? See, we've got to love him more than all of that. All of those things. Somebody asked me this question. Brother Pine said, do you believe it's wrong to hunt? Now, this is my answer. I say it openly because so many of them, I can't get to them to explain it. But I say this openly from my heart. I believe it's wrong to kill, brethren. I really do. I know there's a time to kill. But I believe with all my heart it's wrong. And this is why I believe it's wrong. I believe fishing is the same way. I believe that if you're hungry, that God would rather you'd kill an animal and you stay alive rather than the animal. But if you're not hungry, then if you've got food or somebody else out there is killing enough to bring sufficient food, maybe God's left him in a rim to where he can do that. Maybe he's out in the world. He's slaughtering out there. I heard a man, he killed so many cattle and different things to provide food for people. He said, "Brother Pike, I feel like a murderer." In a few days, he died in a drunken stupor in jail. Now, see, here's what I'm trying to say. God didn't intend for us to kill the animals. It wasn't God's plan. He didn't intend for us to snatch the fish out of the ocean like that. That wasn't his plan. See, if that was his plan, why does the Bible speak concerning the millennium? Said, "In that day nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." Nothing at all in that time shall harm. See, it wasn't God's plan. It grieves God. The Bible said he marks the fall of a sparrow. One little sparrow. Just the fall of one little sparrow. I may be killed in a wreck. I may go out in a terrible circumstance. But I actually believe in my heart that that's why Brother Branham died such a violent death. Is because that he killed so many things during his lifetime in that way. I believe that. I really believe it in my heart. You see, I believe that the Lord's not pleased because Esau was a great hunter, but Jacob was a plainsman. And I'm not saying that against hunting. I don't mean that because Brother Branham was a great man, one of the greatest. But I'm just trying to show you God's way, God's thoughts about it. I've been asked, I've been put down to the point, you know, and asked about it. And they said, "Brother Pike, what about this?" And I said, "Well, you just go on hunting, you go fishing, do whatever you want to." Somebody would say, "But Brother Pike, that means we're giving up our life." Laying down your life for your brother. Isn't that right? You're giving up your life. That is true. You really are giving up your life. But the Bible said it's our reasonable service to give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? All right, you say, "Brother Pike, you're putting me to the fire. I'm only telling you in love the truth." Paul said, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Isn't that what you want to know is the truth? You know, we can easily get to the place to where we want to know what part of the truth that we want to know. Now, ain't that right? But we've got to be to the place to where we love truth. You say, "Well, I don't believe what you're saying is the truth." I quoted you the scriptures for it, isn't that right? If what I'm saying isn't the truth, then you ought to be brother enough to me to come to me after the service or stop me right now and say, "Brother Pike, would you please let me say something? I'll be glad to do it." And stop me right now and say, "Brother Pike, I don't believe that that's the truth. I believe you misunderstand. Because I stand to be reproved of you, my brother." That's right. I don't stand here to reprove you and not to be reproved of you. If you want to reprove me, I stand here in all love and reverence and respect, with all love and all understanding and meekness, for you to tell me, because I believe the things I tell you is absolutely the word of the Lord. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I have been asked, they've asked me to make a public statement concerning it, and I refuse to do it because I didn't want to hurt anybody. But some of them has come to me and they felt like that I was unfair because I would not make a public statement. And I said, "All right, I'll tell you." So I feel like tonight that I have told you, I feel a danger, I feel a warning, I feel a danger about it, I feel something that is out of balance about it, I feel a hurt. If you don't feel that way, well, that's between you and the Lord, and you do whatever you will. It's only my job to deliver my soul. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on K.
Calvary's tree.
You know, I really believe this from my heart. I made this statement today. I believe that deer season is a death trap that Satan has set to kill with. Every deer season, some precious man, boy, somebody loses their life and little children go homeless. I really believe it in my heart. I believe it's a death trap. Years ago, a man could go out into the forest and hunt. It wasn't a death trap, but I believe it's a death trap now. These reservations, my brother Junior hunted so long, and there's visions where he lost his life. And finally he quit, and he almost lost his life just before he quit. How many of you love the truth? Do you love the truth? All right, then don't resent it. Don't find fault with it if you love the truth. All right. You can be seated. Forgive me, I didn't mean to keep you standing that long. Now don't go away and tell somebody that I said it was a sin to go hunting. It's like I told some of them just recently, the different things that we're using here concerning the flags and such, I explained very thoroughly to them at the men's meeting that these things, you cannot go out and preach to the world. You cannot go out and tell these things to the world. You can't go tell people out there they can't go hunting and they can't go fishing because they don't know what you're talking about. All you can do is go tell them about Jesus and that they should repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they'll be saved. And then when they come into our ranks and come into the brotherhood, then we can indoctrinate them, we can talk to them, we can tell them about the wonderful things of God. I say, well, Brother Pike, if all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, why do you have to tell them anything else? Okay, let me ask you one question. If all it takes is a few minutes for a baby to be born into the world, why does he have to grow up into manhood or womanhood? He's already in the world. Why bother to make a man or a woman out of him? See, because the little fellow can't help himself, he's dependent. There are so many things that we can learn that will protect us and our loved ones through life, that will make life better for us and growing up into the fullness of Christ. Isn't that right? And learning about all these things, when we get life, the Holy Ghost guides us into all truth, all righteousness, and we grow up into the fullness of Him, and we learn the do's and the don'ts and the many things that can be beneficial to us. It's imperative that we come into these things. The Bible said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Isn't that right? All righteousness. Thus it becometh us to do that. Well, that's why that it's needful to indoctrinate people. And these things that we're doing here at Little Bethlehem concerning the flag and many other things, those people wouldn't understand. They'd say, Brother Pike, that's foolish. If you told them, they would come to you, they'd say, Brother Pike, that's foolish. Well, what could I say? I'd say, yes, sir, that's right. God has chosen the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. That's all I could say. Because to the world it really is foolish. But God has chosen the wisdom of the world. He took the wisdom of this world and turned it into foolishness. Isn't that right? All right, I love you and I want to help you. And I certainly don't want to hurt you. I don't. But I felt to do this. I felt to tell about these visions because, see, here's the thing. If I stand by and you go hunting and some little fellow gets killed, and it may be my own son, David's doing some hunting right now, and David ain't in line with the Lord like he needs to be to get some protection. And it might be the death of my own little son that they saw. Or it could be the death of your son. But if I stand by and one of them is killed, when I knew that I could say something about it, I would never get over it as long as I live. Never. And I know that I've mentioned hunting here from the pulpit a number of times. I've mentioned it. And it looks like rather than stopping, it's increasing. It looks like it's getting more. And more of them are going. Whereas I feel it's my duty to make mention to you concerning it and also the visions, because I didn't give Brother Hollis the vision. God gave it to him. And Brother Hollis did not approach me and say, Brother Pike, I had a bad vision about somebody going hunting or somebody doing this. He said, I had this vision concerning some going deer hunting and that this thing happened. See, so I just had last night talked to him about how I felt leery of it. And then that, I'd feel like I was a murderer, Jim. if I didn't state these things openly so that you could understand. This way it'll have more effect on you. Now, you might get hurt at me. I trust that you don't, because I love you. But I'm trying to save the life of your son or my son or whoever it is. Because I tell you, I fear God, folks. God warned Solomon in a dream a number of times and told him a number of times. See, he told him in a dream that he would raise him up and give him wisdom. And he did. And then he warned him in a dream not to marry into the heathen tribes. Warned him the same way. He listened to the first, but he didn't listen to the last. He prospered from the first, but he didn't prosper from the last. So see, I fear God. There's been dreams, numbers of dreams, years gone by where my companion died and where I'd die. But you know what I did? I done like Hezekiah. I prayed. I feared God. I turned my face to the wall. I rebuked death and took authority over it and began to claim my safety and my children. See, those children belong to you. God gave them to you. He gave your wife to you. Isn't that right? He gave your husband to you. And they're yours. And the Bible said, whatever's yours is lawful for you to do what you will with it. Say, well, what will you do with it? I'll keep mine unto eternal life. For me and my house will serve the Lord. It's mine that I intend to keep it from the devil. I intend to pray. God give me the power to keep it. I intend to do all I can to keep it from the devil. And I believe by faith in God I can. I believe that. I know I can as long as my children will work halfway with me. All right, that sounds a little strong, I know, but this is what I felt to do. I ordinarily do never interfere with things like this or say things about it, but I've been asked, and some felt like it's unfair. They said, well, you're our pastor, and you know, and you won't tell me, and I feel like that's unfair. I mean, that was the essence of their talk, and I don't want to be unfair, so I've told you. Now, I probably won't say anything else about it. There's one other thing I could have said tonight, if you'd have desired to hear it concerning what it represents in the Spirit. I'm sure that would have an effect on you. How would you like to hear that? When you go out into the woods to hunt, Brother Billy Kirk, one of the finest men I know of, Billy, along with the others that go out into the woods to hunt, when you're out there, what it represents is the church in the wilderness. I can prove it to you by revelation. I spoke of it months ago. This is why it troubles me. I spoke of it months ago when I let Billy have the tent, even the tent that came from Brother Walden. That I spoke of it had to do with the church in the wilderness. Billy had it to make him a tent out there. And what bothers me about it is that the elders died in the wilderness. And the youth went over. So that's why that I say what I do. It troubles me. See, I know that death is lurking in the shadows. I know that it is. It's lurking in the shadows. And even Brother John Lane, where he's at right now, I spoke of what it represented. And death is lurking in the shadows for John. I know that it is. I spoke of it. And already there's three night visions where John was killed already. So I know death is lurking in the shadows. I don't know just exactly what this had to do with, but in the vision where the shooting was done, or whatever it was, a deer or a colt or a child or whatever it meant or represented, Brother Zale was the one that was trying to aid it. It was brought here to the campground, which makes me know that it must be down at Zale's house or in that area or connected with Zale, and somebody said it could be one of his sons. It might be. I don't know. I don't even know where his boys go hunting or not. I know that mine's going hunting. I don't know. I know that Brother Leon's down there and his boys. I don't know whether they hunt or not. But I know that they're down there. Do they hunt, Brother? They're down there. They hunt too. It could be some of them. But see, I don't know. I'm not saying that it is. Because like I said before morning, it could be my son. But whatever it is, folks, I want us to guard against it because I know that that's what it represents. And I know, like I told Jim today, Jim's got a great calling in God. I know he has. Brother Leon's got a great calling in God. So has Brother Zale. I know that, see. And there's other men here that's got great callings in God. And I'm not saying it's wrong for you to go. I'm not saying that. The Lord forbid. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just telling you to be careful. How do you know the Bible said Nimrod was a great hunter? He's a great hunter. See, you say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that it follows the flesh. Now, Brother Branham was a great hunter. But see, that was on the wilderness side, in the wilderness. That was in the wilderness over there. Brother Branham showed the church in the wilderness. See, he was numbered with the denominations. I tell you, this is what changed me, folks. When I came into the revelation of Jesus Christ and I saw these things, it changed me. It changed me. I said, God, whatever you like, I like. Whatever you are, that's what I am. In other words, Jesus, he didn't do no hunting and fishing as a rule. Now, he wasn't against it. He wasn't against it as far as being out there. He was on the boat. He prepared fish on the shore. He knew there was made to eat. He filled their nets up with fish for them. He wasn't against it. It was their livelihood. But he just didn't do it because he was so busy for God. So I just ask you this. If you do fish, if you do hunt, cut down on it a little bit, will you? Just be careful. Go by the leading of the Lord. If you feel to go out there, if the Lord leads you out there, that's good. If he impresses you to go, Brother Pike's not against it. But don't get in, you know, in a routine of saying, we got 2 days left, 3 days left, or this is deer season, I got to hurry to catch this last one, because that's when Satan will kill you. See, you're getting carnal when you do that. But whether it's deer season or whatever, if God told me to go hunting, it would make no difference to me if it was deer season or not deer season. I'd go deer hunting, wouldn't you? And if he tells me not to go, it don't make no difference if it is deer season. I ain't planning to go. So that's the way to do it, brethren. If he tells you to take a trip, you take it. If you just want to go home and see mother and daddy, that's not good. See, we can't do that like others can. You're bought with a price. I even learned that I can't just go home when to see my mom when I want to. When he's out on the field, we didn't come home. Better not, I didn't come home just whenever it's convenient. We didn't do that because we learned better than that. So you can't do it. You can't just go over to your brothers and sisters whenever you feel like seeing him. You say, well, I just feel like I want to see him. You can't do that. See, you're God's man. You're God's woman. That makes all the difference in the world. You can't just go to town. Say, well, I think I'll take today and just look around in the stores and look at the dresses and things like that. You can't do that. See, you're God's woman. You can't do that. You got to do what God says do. Seek the will of God. The steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. And acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. If you make a dress, or buy a dress, or make a dollar, or work a day, or take a trip, or ride around, or go around the corner, or pick up the phone to say hello, acknowledge the Lord. You could pick up a phone and say hello, and it could be your death warrant. How many know that? Because a fella on the other end might want to hear just exactly what you're saying to know just exactly where you are at the right time to kill you. I heard of a case not too long ago where they robbed a man by one of those little radios. I told you about it a few days ago. So then we ask you to be careful, folks, about what you say. Be careful about what you hear. Be careful about what you see, where you go. All right, looks like I've already preached to you before we ever got through with the preliminaries. Come to me tonight to preach the word early. That's right, not have much preliminary. And I thought, well, I don't know, but I guess I do know. That's what the Lord wanted. That's what the Lord wanted. You love the Lord? All right, I love you. God bless you. Don't be upset at me because I love you. We got a question here. What is the abomination of desolation? Now, I know what it is, and I could answer you tonight on it, but it's more than just saying two or three words. So one night, if the Lord will, I'll try to remember this right here and try to bring it out and clarify it just to the best of my understanding. It's what the abomination of desolation is. As a matter of fact, I had it in mind, and I didn't know what to do about it tonight, but I had it in mind to set up the board. I told some of them the other day I might try to do a little teaching. When I do that, I have to set up the board and take me a little, you know, a little rod of some kind and get up here and have Brother Taylor to draw it out and just teach it step by step, let you get your pads and pencils and sit and listen talk to you know like Jesus did when he sat down in the little boat and taught them. I have to do it that way whenever I am teaching. A lot of times I start teaching, I have to get a hold of myself because I wind up preaching. But Paul said I'm a preaching a teacher. And I have to watch sometimes. But I thought about going through some things and expounding some things for those that are young in the Lord and some that has not absorbed things as well as others. to just take it step by step and break it down to where they can see and where they can understand and where they can kind of catalog it up here, you know. I wonder now, I don't want you to raise your hand unless you really are interested in this. But if you're interested in it, you know, if that's what you'd really like to do and really like to hear, and when I say that, you know, you're going to have enough interest to where you'll want to come and where you'll want to hear, then when I ask you this, I want you to respond. But if you're not interested, if you'd rather hear somebody preach, if you'd rather hear somebody, you know, preach to you, well, I want you to be honest with me, because God will give you the desires of your heart. How do you know that? A lot of times we need to be careful about what we desire. I don't mean that about preaching and teaching, because you need to desire both of them. The Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the Word. But I'm speaking of God giving you what you want, and I'll work with God to give it to you. But I don't have to say, go on, Balaam. All right? How many of you would really be interested, if the Lord would allow us to do it, to teach the Word a little bit? Just take a board, write it on the board, and teach it. Would you be interested in it? All right, we got some that would be interested in it. I appreciate you that did not raise your hand. That way I know that you're not interested in it. And I appreciate you for that. Because that's what I want, is honest people. All right, now, you might say, well, why do you want to teach? Because Jesus said, when he gave the Great Commission, go into all the world. Isn't that right? Preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them. Isn't that right? That's why I do not believe a woman is called to preach. It's because he said, preach the gospel, teaching them. And he said, I suffer not a woman to teach. All right. So then we'll pray over it. We got a few hands that went up, and we'll pray over it and see how the Lord feels about it. Brother Delmer was wanting us to come down into Texas, and I hadn't made up my mind to go down there yet. He was wanting us to come in Missouri, and it's been two or three invitations or more that's been given to us to go to different places. And I've been trying, if the Lord was willing for me to stay right here and talk with you as much as I can, because I feel like time is running out.